Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra Daf Pei. Baba Basra Daf Pei, and we get into the next Mishnah, which again talks about if you buy a certain item, what is included in the item, as these three prakim are all about. Mocher es habayis, amocher es svina, and then getting into amocher peiros. Okay, halokeach peiros shovach mechadero. If somebody buys peiros shovach from their friend, what exactly does peiros shovach mean? This doesn't mean fruit. This means offspring or certain types of production that the shovach does. Shovach is a chicken coop. So let's say a chicken coop lays a certain amount of eggs every month. The Rashbam explains that every month they lay some eggs, a male and a female. So if I buy the offspring, the potential offspring of this chicken coop, so then mafriach brecha rishona. Then what I have to do, and we're going to go through with the Rashbam's pshat on this whole amud, because that's the most straightforward one. Mafriach brecha rishona, the mother cannot exist without at least two little babies near her. So the brecha rishona, the first zug, the first pair of birds that will be born from this mother, that is obviously not included in the sale. Because the mother bird needs that to live, to function. She needs a tzavta, she needs some type of accompaniment. And therefore, if a person buys all the babies, all the egg, all the chicks born in 1 year, the first pair is not included, mistama. Because if without those two birds, the mother would just fly away. And the guy and the mocher obviously doesn't want to sell this whole chicken coop. He doesn't want it to fall apart. So therefore, if somebody buys the peiros shovach, so then mafriach brecha rishon, the first pair is not sold in the interim. Ask all the rishonim on this gemara. Ein adam makna davar shlo bala olam. Ein adam mocher davar shlo bala olam. The whole we had it yesterday. You don't have to think so hard, right? Yesterday's amud. Right, 9,000 base. Ain't adam makna davar shlo bala olam. So how is there anything going on here? How could a person buy the offspring that's going to be produced? So then one day the Adrama says, "Oh, it's going like Rabbi Meir Shita." Adam makna davar shlo bala olam. Okay, that's one opinion, but we'd rather not say that. That's rather it's a stamad masi. So we'd rather say we paskin like this Mishnah. So sorry. It is Stamish Rabbi Meir, Stamish Rabbi Meir, but usually whenever that Rabbi Meir is quoted, we usually have the other sheet also of the Chacham. So, are there other answers? So, two other answers given in the Rishonim. Number one, the Nemuki Yosef here asked the Kasha, and he says maybe it doesn't really mean that he sold it from today and the deal is done. It's just that if they made this agreement, and later on, once they're born, they did not retract from the agreement, so that's when it works, but not that it works lo bala olam. Says the Nuki Yosef, this is on Daf Mem Amid Beis in the Daf Yerif. V'yafilu l'manda amar ein adam makne b'kamakom hecha she'einan chozrin v'rotzin l'kayim ha'mekach tzarech atan l'ashmin anadin. It's okay, you're right, ein adam makne davar shlo bala olam, but once it's bala olam and then they continue going through with it, so that's what is included. That's what's included in Mistama. So one of the Akronim point out, based on this Nuki Yosef, is there a lechatchila, if we have a kinyan of lo bala olam, is it as if nothing happened, zero? Or it's kind of held in abeyance until it's bala olam and then it kicks in? Do we have a lechatchila to continue the deal? So it sounds like from this in the Muki Yosef that yes, that one should continue the deal even though it's not done right away. That's from the Ayelet HaShachar. We did in the Muki Yosef, Nira, Delon Damar, Ena Damakan Darish lo bala olam, Velochawa kinyan, Mikomakom tzrichin lekayim diburam. Ki im ein din l'kayim mashadibru mashach de mishna seinu harayasu mashayirtsu. So it sounds like from the Nemuki Yosef, says the Ayalat HaShachar, that even by a lo bala olam, there's a lachadchila to continue with the deal. So either the mishna is like a remeir, makna davar shlo bala olam, or it's talking about when it is bala olam. The third shot is, as many of you might be thinking, and that is, one second, we said yesterday, and in other cases, that there is a type of kinyan on a lo bala olam, even according to the Manda Amar, ein adam makna. And that's what's called dekel l'peirosav. As we had yesterday, you sell a tree regarding the fruit that will come with it. You sell, the husband is, or the wife we had in the past Gemaras, is makdish her earnings. How could she be makdish her earnings? They're not here yet. Yadai lo sehem. My hands legabi my earnings. So one is able to have this middle type of kinyan or hakdasha in a case of lo bala olam, and that's how the Rambam seems to understand our Gemara. The Rambam says in Hilchas Mechira, Hamocher peiro shovach upeiros kaveras lechavera ukana. If you sell the production of your shovach, it works. The einze mocher davash lo bala olam. Why? Lefishenu mocher yonim sheyuldu o dvash sheyovol kaveras. You're not selling the birds that will be born or the honey, as we'll see. Ela mocher hashovach lepeirosav vakaveras ledavsha. And that's okay. Kibisha Machar Ilan Leperosav. So that is why it is, it's all in the formulation. I'm not selling the fruit, I'm not selling the production, I'm selling the Shovach's potential right now. The potential is right now, the Shovach's potential right now of the babies that might come. Okay, so that is how the Rambam seems to read the Gemara. That it seems suggests maybe it's a special Takana Drabanan. Right, even if this is what was common, especially Takana Drabanan, but that is what the couple of possibilities that are suggested. Okay, weiter. So again, if somebody buys the chicks that will be born in Mechadera from their friends, so the first group stays with the seller. Next case, Peiros Kaveres. What about Peiros Kaveres? Again, Peiros here means the production and what the future is that's going to come out of the Kaveres, the beehive. You have a beehive, the bees are producing honey in there, so you buy the honey that's going to come out. So, no tell Gimel Nephilim. So you're allowed to take three swarms, as it's called. The Rashbam explains, Gimel Chaburos HaNoladot Rishona. The way that it works, the Rashbam explains, is that the bees are in a certain beehive, and then once it gets too crowded there, so to speak, the queen bee goes somewhere else, somewhere nearby, and starts again another colony. And there goes another colony, and it keeps going. But each colony is a little weaker. Garua, says the Rashbam, than the previous one. It's not as strong. It's not as productive. And therefore, if somebody buys the honey, the rights of what's going to come out, so how many does he get? So the first three. The first three, says the Mishnah, that's the stoma of what is sold. So the Rashbam talks about how usually they make, in the second wide line, he says some make it in 7 or 8 times a season in the Malchus Yavan, but in our Malchus, says the Rashbam, most make 3. Right, Osen, Ruben Osen, Gimel, Pa'amim, Vashlishi, Garua, Mikulan. Ta'achron, Achron, Garua. So that's the Rashbam telling us habits of bees in his day. So says the Mishnah, so if somebody buys that, so then he gets the first three, umisares, and then he is misares. What does misares mean? So we'll have to see that in the Gemara, what that word means. I won't translate it for now. Chalos dvash, third case, what if somebody sells the honeycombs? Not the bee, but the honeycombs, the chalos dvash. So then maniach beis chalos, the two honeycombs have to remain. That's not sold, because if the person didn't sell everything, so it must be he wants to keep it for the next season, so you need a little bit of it to regenerate the following season. So he must be that he keeps two for himself. Zesim lakutz, if somebody sells an olive tree in order for somebody to cut the branches in order to use for fuel, for firewood. So then maniach shtei grofios, again, if he's not selling you the whole tree to uproot, so it must be he left some for himself, so you have to leave at least two branches. But the Adrama says, if you sold it not lakutz, but if you sold it lintoa in a different place, then he could uproot the whole thing. That's the assumption. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Says the Brisa of Hatanya, 1 second, how could you say in our Mishnah, the first line in our Mishnah, that if somebody buys the potential for the chicks born that year, the first pair has to stay with the mother, but everybody, because the mother needs some accompaniment, but all the rest are sold. Vatanya, Recha Rishona Vishniya. What do you mean? We learned in a Brisa that the first two broods, the first two pairs born, stay with the mother. So Amar Rav Kahana, no, we misunderstood. Lokasha, Hala, Halaima. No, it doesn't mean two. It means the first pair has to stay with the mother. But you also need, in order for the first pair to stay with the mother, you need children for the children that were born. And therefore you have to leave the first two, because just like the mother always wants to be with her chicks, she needs that in order to just exist, so too the child also needs her children, meaning the grandchicks, also are not taken. So ask the Gemara 1 minute. Maishna ima dimitzavta abrata va'azuga dushavkinan la. One second. The mother, let's assume that she needs two accompanying sources. So she has her daughter, and she has her mate, right, the male. And that's good enough. So inami. So why isn't it enough with the kid? Tits tavta aima va'azuka dushavkinan la. Why doesn't the child just have its mate and the mother? Just like the mother has the mate and the child should have just the mother and the mate. So the Gemara says, no. You can't compare the love of a parent to a child and the love of a child to a parent. Ima abrata mitztavta. The mother will hang out with the child. That's good. She's not embarrassed about that. But barta ima lamitztavta. I can't be seen with my mother. Right? So that's not the one that I'm going to hang out with. And therefore, the daughter with the mother, lo mitztavta. Interesting ha'ara there of Arya Kaplan makes in his Sefer on marriage, Made in Heaven, where he talks about the first time love is mentioned in the Torah. Where's the first time love is mentioned in the Torah? We just had it in this week's parasha. Right? When Hashem commands Yitzchak Avinu to the Akedah, he says, it's bin chasher ahavta. The first time the word av is used, as the Gra says. The Gra says, yeah, whenever you want to know the true root of a word, you have to look the first time it's used in the Torah. So the first time av is used in the Torah is by a parent-child relationship. The second time it's used is in this week's parsha, right, by Yitzchak and Rivka. Right, that's by a husband and wife. But the first time it's used is by a parent and a child, because that might be the most perfect and most pure type of love. Love between parent and child, he writes, exists because parent and child feel like one. They are part of the same family and feel a bond of unity. The bond between man and woman is a reflection of this. Right, the most perfect love in the world is that between parent and child. When a mother holds an infant in her arms, her heart overflows with the most unique love. She has this love not because she expects anything from the child, but merely because the child exists. The very fact that this is her child makes her love between him with the deepest emotion possible. And that's what he quotes. The first type of love is by Avram and Yitzchak, and the second type only is between Rivka and Yitzchak. Yitzchak obviously is the connection between both. We mentioned in the past the Malbim. It's an amazing Malbim. The Malbim writes in Parshas Vayetze, right, after Yaakov Avinu is tricked by Lavan, and he has to marry Leah, and then he marries Rachel. So the pasuk says, "Vayhi b'yamav kiyabim machadim b'avasa osa." It was like a few days went by. Boom, because he loved her so much. Few days. Ask the Malbim 1 minute. Usually, if you love something, it takes longer if you can't have it. If I love pizza, if I don't have pizza for a month, every day it's like I can't wait. So what do you mean vayhi b'yamav kiyab vayhi be'enav kiyabim machadim b'avasa osa? It was like nothing going by. It should be even longer. So the Malbim there says, no, there's two different types of love. There's Avas HaCheshek, which is also called Avas Atzmo, and it's also called Avas HaDavar. What does that mean? I love fish. So if I love fish, I'm going to eat fish. If I love fish so much, I should keep the fish in my fish tank and help it live for 100 years. I'm going to kill it and eat it. That's love for fish. No, that's love for myself, and fish make me feel good when I eat it, so I'm going to eat the fish. I love pizza. I don't love pizza. I'm going to save this slice forever and ever. I don't love pizza. I love me, and pizza makes me feel good, so I eat the pizza. That type of love, which is avas atzmo, really, so then the more I can't have it, the longer it feels. Yom l'chodesh yecha, yom l'shana yechashev. It's the language of the Malbim. Masha'enkein, if my love is not based on pure, selfish, ulterior motives, but is based on the fact that I have such a value for the other item and I appreciate the milus of the other item, so then as long as I know that I'm going to have that, it's like, unbelievable. The time goes quick. So that was Yaakov and Rachel. He realized her milus, and therefore that was the true love. But that really, why does he love her? Because she exists. That's why, not because he gets anything. So ultimately, that's the love between a parent and a child. But it's only in one direction, at least at the beginning. Hopefully, over time, it develops to the other one. But here too, it's even in the Bria. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this in the Bria, so that, right, the Gemara, right, we have the Gemara in Erevin, right, we should learn humility from this animal, and we should learn busyness from this animal. So here too, maybe we should learn about love from the chicks. Okay, Weiter. So that's two dots. Peros kaveres, note on the gimel nechilim umasaris. So if somebody buys the production, the honey that's going to be produced from the kaveres, so the first three he gets, and then he's masaris. But men masaris son, what kind of siris are we talking about? So the havamina is, siris here means to cause the bees to no longer procreate, which is what siris means in other contexts. So How does one remove the koach of holada in a bee? Right? That's unusual. How do you do that? So Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel b'chardal. You give him mustard seed. Why? The Rashbam explains, and the other Rishonim as well. Let's continue first. Ayin Barava Mishmei Rabbi Yosi Rechanina Lo Chardal Misarson El Mitoch Shepien Chad Chozers VaOchlos Es Tavshanan. It's not really that Chardal causes them to become impotent. What it means is that they have such a bitter taste on their mouth, so they go back and get busy with the honey. So they're not focused anymore on Puravu, on creating a new habitat, a new honeycomb, but their focus is on eating the honey, which produces more honey over and over, and that's what keeps them busy. And in that way, they stop having the children. So that's what misaris means. Number one, Rabbi Yochanan Amar. No, siris here means something totally different. Siris doesn't mean anything with removing the koach haolada, but what does it mean? Note ashloshen achilim b'sirus. Siris sometimes means by skipping every other. So here too, when somebody buys the nechilim, it means that you take every other alternating nechilim. That's what it means. Bebas nisatana, also in the Brisa, we learned this pshat, notel gimel, nechilim bezeh achar zeh, mikan ve'elach notel achas miniach achas. The first three you take yourself, straight, and after that, you switch off one by one. Talk for a moment about the first, the havamina. Havamina, the to be misaris the animal. So again, interesting. You allowed to be misaris an animal, even bees. Could you give the mustard to the bees? See in the first day of the Gemara. So the Rashbam explains. Maybe this is why it was done this way. What does it mean? Their mouths were bitter, and then their choses machilos. Because I didn't really do anything. I just made them busy. I wasn't misaris them. I didn't take away their koach olada. So it's all grama. Look at the Rashbam. It's about the 2/3 of the way down, towards the end of the line. 2/3 of the wide lines. Lo chardo chams misarison, ella grama ba'alma kagarim lahu. Kid the mefarish. It's just a grama. V'ochlos es devshanam umitok sviusan, because they are full from all that honey. Betelos b'piri v'rivia. V'chozros v'osos vash. So it's more of a grama. So I didn't really do anything. Explains the Gemara. Maybe that's why it's mutter, because we know there is an Issa d'Oraisa of Sirus. Where does it say it in the Torah? It doesn't say Lo Tesaris anywhere. Where does it say that I'm not allowed to be Misaris, remove the power of reproduction from any being? Where does it say that? So it's a Pasuk in Parshas Emor. Where the Pasuk says, Chaf Beis Chaf Dalid, the Pasuk says, listing off, this is the context of all the a mumin of an animal that you're not allowed to bring a balmum on the mizbeach. So the pasuk says umauch v'kasus v'nasuk v'charus, all these different types of animals that have some type of mum in their aver. Lo sakrivu l'Hashem, don't sacrifice those to Hashem. Uba'artzachem lo sasu, and don't do this in your land. That's it. What does that mean? Don't do this in your. We're talking about bringing karbanos that have problems. Right, so the Gemara is about Mosasu, so the Chazal Darshan, Rashi quotes it right here, Chav Beis Chav Dalid, in Vayikra, Barzachem Lo Sasu, Dover Zel Lasares, Shum Behema Vachaya Vafilu Tmeya, the Isser of castration of any animal, even a non-kosher animal, is learned that from right here, Lakach Nemar Barzachem, Larabos Kolosheb Barzachem, anything in your land, She'ef Shalomar Lo Nitztabo Alasiris El Abares, this doesn't have anything to do with Eretz Yisrael. Right, why not? Shari Sirus Chovas Agufu. Because Sirus has to do with, it's an Aveira that it doesn't have to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's Chovas Aguf. V'kol Chovas Aguf no heges bein ba'aretz bein mechutz la'aretz. Right, there's no difference. So it says, Ba'aretzachem lo sasu is not teaching me a geographical place. It's teaching me Kol Asher Ba'aretzachem. It's expanding the Isser of what is included. So Ba'aretzachem lo sasu, Rashi quotes that the Isser of Sirus applies to all beings. And this is what the Sefer Chinuch quotes. Sefer Chinuch in Lo Sasei Reish Tzadik Aleph Shelo Lasares Echon Mikol Aminim. Any min, there's an Isser to be Misares. Shelo Lasares Echon Mikol Aminim Lo Adam V'lo Behema V'lo Oaf. And he quotes the Rashi that we just said. And then he adds, Umasha Amru. Let's stop there. But they said, Bishar Shei HaMitzvah. What's the Shorash HaMitzvah behind the Isser of Sirus? So he explains that this is the anti-Pur Urvu Aveira. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tremendous koach of puruvu, which is imitating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like God creates, so too man has the power to create. And if somebody removes the koach haholada of a person, it's as if he's being cut. He's saying this act of creation is a disgusting thing. I reject even what God did. So he says, V'hayim erzono ubirech ba'alechayim liosam parim v'ravim v'gam tziva hazacharim imin adam alzeh. Interesting line. He says, he gave the bracha of puravu to all people, and he commanded men about it. And therefore he says, Yalkein, amavsid kli azera, mare benafsho kemishu katz b'maisa habore, v'rotze b'hashchasas olamo hatov. Right? You're rejecting this concept of reproduction of the world continuing, and therefore it is not allowed. The big sugi in the Rishonim already is, what about, is there a difference between a man and a woman? Because if you say it's all about puravu, so obviously women are not mitzuven puravu. Is there any more kulas if a woman is a big sugya, if a woman gets older and she's already reaching the age, various ages, is there issue of having cutting her tubes, tying her tubes, various processes that are done, so a woman doesn't get pregnant as Rahman al-Tan should be done when she's younger. But when she gets older, so that's a major sugya. This is the sugya of Sirus. Is it allowed for a woman? So that's all the Rishonim already discussed. The Minchas Chinuch says, Chas v'shalom, don't think it's just about Puravu. Even if we're Puravu, it doesn't apply. V'din Sirus, ain't no talib misses Puravu. Klal, to also l'saris, kol minei balechayim. What, animals have the mitzvah Puravu? Right, animals don't have the mitzvah, so the Minchas Chinuch says, why are women any worse than animals? You're not allowed to be misaris an animal, you're not allowed to be misaris an akeva. Ach kavanaso, what does the Minchas Chinuch mean by quoting the issue of puravu? That even though there is a svar da'af de be'isha v'chol minei nekevas gzeres hakasavu, even though by some people it's gzeres hakasav, I could give a svara for other people. At least for the men, the svara is the anti-puravu. But if, as I read it before, if you look closely, he doesn't just focus on who's commanded in puravu. He just says who is involved in populating the world. Who's involved? So if it's who's involved, then it's men and women equally. There are differences between men and women. We're not going to get into the Lamaisa differences, but that is a big discussion. It's also an issue of Chukos Hagayim here. The poskim also bring up the Sefer Chinuch himself brings it up in Mitzvah Tuf Kuf Nun Tes. Shaloyikach Sris Bas Yisrael. We know a sar is somebody who cannot reproduce is also to marry them. This is to marry them. So in that chinuch, Tuf Kuf Nun Tes, he talks about, which many other Rishonim, also the Rama, the Mornevuchim talks about this, that in the olden days, many of the other nations specifically were misares, the servants of the king, so that they wouldn't start off with any of their wives and their women. They would dafka misares them. So dafka doing this, Rahman al-Islam, also might be an issue of chukos hagayim. Obviously, if there's sakanas nefashos involved, then there's no question. So the question is serious is mutter. If somebody has some type of disease, Chas v'shalom in that area. So then, obviously, it's mutter and it's a mitzvah. But that is part of the issues of Sirus. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Hay and about in Evan Ezer. I'll just read it to you quickly, and then we'll continue. Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ezer talks about it. Aser lahafsid evari hazera bein ba'adam bein bebehema chayav oof. Echad tmeim ve'echad tahorim. Bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. V'chol ha'misaris lokem in ha'torah. V'chol makom. V'afilu misaris achar misaris lokem. He talks about people who take part in various parts of the process. And then what about if somebody drinks something that makes them sterile? So what happens if there's a medicine I have to take, Rahman al-Islam, that might have a side effect of that? Is there, the Gemara talks about psikresha in this regard. Of Hamashke Kosheli Karan La'adam Al-Shar Balachayim Gidla Sarso. It's also, you just don't get Malkus. Again, this is a big, major discussions in the postcap. But that is the issue of... If I know for sure that a side effect of this medicine is to make somebody impotent, so is that... That could be a psychration. The Gemara and Shabbos talks about it. Tosfos there. Okay, Vaita, let's continue. Says the Gemara. Where are we? So that was the first. So Sirus in the Mishnah either means Tim Misari somehow stopped the bees from procreating, or it means skipping, doing it on and off. Next, says the Mishnah, Chalos Dvash, Benyeshte Chalos, in the Chalos Dvash case. So what did we have? We had the issue of if somebody sells a beehive, but they want the honeycombs, but they want to keep their their hive for next year, so they keep some of the combs for themselves. The Mishnah says, if nothing was explicated, so you gotta leave two. You gotta leave two of the combs. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, so just as background to this, this line of Rav Kahana in a minute, we know, we mentioned many times, the Mishnah in Machshirin, that for an item to become, for a food item to become Tameh, the halacha is that first it has to become wet. It has to become wet after it's detached from the ground. For a cucumber, for a tomato, for an apple to become Tameh, so while it's attached to the tree, it cannot become Tameh. After it's detached, first it has to have one of the seven liquids get it wet. And I have to be happy that it got wet. Yad Shachadam, right? Those seven liquids, the Mishnah in Machshirin lists off all the seven. Yad, Yayin, Dvash, Shachat, Shemen, Chalav, Tau, Dam, Dam, and Mayim. So the seven liquids, one of the seven, Perek Vav, Halacha, Mishnah Dalit, those are the seven liquids that it has to, so one of them is Dvash. Dvash is one of those seven liquids. So once Dvash comes out of the honeycomb, it's counted as one of the seven liquids, and there is Dvash Dvorim, not Dvash Tamarim. Right, Dvash Tamarim is by that's Eres Chalav with Dvash, that's Dvash Tamarim. But this Dvash is talking about Dvash Dvorim, bee honey. So once it comes out of the beehive, it's for sure considered a mashka, and it can make something wet regarding Kabbalah's Tumah. But what about if the honey is still in the Kaveris? If it's still in it. So what status does it have? Does it have the status of a mashka? Does it have the status of an ochel? Right? So that's the question that we're about to talk about. At what point does it change? Because once it comes out, so then we say it, once it comes out, it becomes a mashke. So this is the second to last Mishnah in Shas. It might be considered the last Mishnah, because the last Mishnah is all about Agadata, like the 310 Olamos. But the last Mishnah, right before that, in Uksin, Chalos Dvash, Me'emasai Metamos, Mishnah Mashke. Right there. How do you know what is it? Matami b'shemashke, the honeycombs. Bachogos b'shamay b'sila, b'shamay omer, mishe yecharcher. Mishe yecharcher, one of the mafarshim is that when you start smoking it out, and it starts coming, yeah, they used to smoke out the honey at the beginning. B'sila omer, mishe yerasik. When you start crushing up the honeycombs in order to get the honey out, that's when, and that's what we paskin like, b'sila. That's the, in Uksin, Gimel Yadav. Okay, so with that background, we go. Amar Rav Kahana, Dvash Bekaveres, Eino Yotze Midei Malcha La'olam, Dvash, the honey in the beehive, does not lose its status of Ma'achal. Eino Yotze Midei Malcha La'olam, meaning it is considered Ma'achal automatically, and it can become Tameh. It can become Tameh, Sira Machal. Alma, Kesavar, Loboy, Machshava. So you see that you don't need Machshava in order to think about, oh, I'm going to use this honey. No, automatically. Automatically, it has Machshava on it that it is considered an Ochel. Meisvei, Dvash, Bekaveres, Eino, Lo Ochel, Lo Mashke. What do you mean? Abraisa says that the honey in the Kaveres is limbo. It's not an Ochel, it's not a Mashke, it's nothing. So how can you say it's automatically an ochel regarding Hilchas Tumah? So two answers. Amar Abaya, first answer. Lo tzricha el la'osan shtei chalos. No, there are two chalos that will always remain in the beehive, like we talk about in our Mishnah. Those two are not sold if you sell a beehive. So those two, that's what doesn't have the status of an ochel or a mashke. But everything else coming out does have the status of an ochel or a mashke. Answer number one. Answer number two, Rava Amar, Rava says, no, I would rather not say, it's talking about the two chalos, because it doesn't specify anything. So Rabbi Eliezer, he must be the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Titznan, who we had in the Mishnah in Shvius, but we also had this in the Gemara, a couple of weeks ago, right, we had this, right, the Samachim Abbas, last, 2 weeks ago. Titznan, Kaveres Devorim, if you have a beehive, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Harehin Kakarka, everything there is considered karka, meaning the honey in there is not going to become Tameh, that's the opinion that it's not an Ochel or a Mashke, because it's attached. Harika Karka, Vakosan Ala Prusbol. And you can write a Prusbol if somebody has a honeycomb. We learned then, the Mishnah says, a Prusbol can only be written if the Lova has some Karka. So what if the Lova only has a beehive? That's good enough, says Rabbi Eliezer. Look back there, Rashi, the Rashbam, the discussion, why is this? Why did Chazal only make the Takana Prusbol if somebody has Karka? So he talked about it then. The Eina Mekabel is Tumah Bimkoma, and in its spot, it's not Mekabel Tumah. The Arod Mimena B'Shabes Chayev Chatas, and if somebody takes honey from the beehive on Shabbos, it's Chayev Chatas. Again, we discussed then, not going to repeat it right now, about the Malacha of, what Malacha are you violating? You're Chayev Chatas by taking honey out of a beehive? So that's the malacha of kotzer. Kotzer, removing something from where it is growing, even if it's not actually attached. We spoke about some Rishonim say, if you take a fish out of water, you're violating the malacha of Kotzer, not Shochet. Again, Machlokas Rishonim. But this is Orebi Lezer Shita, so he's the author of the Brisa that says it's not an Ochel or a Mashke. The Chachamim Omrim, they argue, Ain Kotzer Nala Prisbal, the Ainaka Karka, you don't get right a Prisbal on it, because it's not like Karka, Umakabelos Tumma Bimkom, and it is Makabel Tumma, because it's considered Metaltalin, Vyarodim, Menabe Shabbos, Pater. And if somebody takes from it on Shabbos, they are Pater. Let's talk for a minute about this idea. So you have a liquid, this dvash, we have machlokas here. You have the liquid in the beehive. So it's considered an ochel, according to Rav Kahana. So this is reminds us a little bit of the sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos. Sugyas in Hilchos Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos, this is the beginning of Siman Shin Chaf. We have to talk about this in the coming weeks in the Malacha of Dash. We'll get to that in the Hilchos Shabbos Shiurim. Squeezing a fruit on Shabbos. Squeezing fruit, there are three levels of squeezing fruit. Right? The Gemara says it, but it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. There's what's called Zesim Va'anavim. If I squeeze an olive or a grape on Shabbos, that's an Issa D'Araisa. It's also D'Araisa to squeeze that. Why? Why does it to squeeze? Because the Rashi quotes the Lashon of this is the normal way to squeeze, but other Rishonim, the Gaonim, say, you know why? Because you are changing the status of that liquid from an Ochel to a Mashke. Just like our Gemara says, while it's inside, it's called an Ochel. The second it comes out, it gets the status of a Mashke. Orange juice inside, is it juice yet? If I eat an orange, and I suck on a wedge, am I drinking? I don't make a Shahakol on that. Unless I dafka, only taking that I'm not eating. So that it's an ochel inside, and when I squeeze it, it's a mashke. That's the malacha of schita. Schita's peiris. Because I'm creating liquid. So that's good. That's by zesim anavim. Next level down the Shulchan Aruch says, what if I squeeze a rimon? It says tutim rimonim. If I squeeze a strawberry. Right? Any of those, that also means rabbanan. Also means you're abundant to squeeze those fruit because that's the second level down. Zesim v'anavim is number one, tutim v'rimonim. There's a big question in the postgame. What's the difference? So Rashi quotes, it's the most normal. You squeeze to get oil and you squeeze to get wine. You don't squeeze to get, it's also common to get pomegranate juice. What if we could come up with something in some generation down the line that there is a fruit that is just as common or even more common to squeeze than zesim v'anavim? For example, oranges. I don't know, nowadays, if you do a research in the world, are most oranges squeezed or are most oranges eaten as oranges? I don't know. I'm sure it could be that it's for squeeze to make orange juice. Either way, it's a large percentage. So does that make squeezing oranges on Shabbos D'Oraisa? It's a big shaila. But if you say it has to do with the status of Ochel and Mashke, so then maybe we could say that only the seven Mashkim have the status of a Mashke when they're squeezed out, which would only be Zesim Vanavim. Oranges is not one of the seven Mashkim. So, but either way, this has to do with that Gemara. So you have Zesim Vanavim, you have Tudim Rimonim, and then the third category, which is items that are totally not squeezed at all, so that has a different set of halachas. So that's all in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Chaf. The Chazon Ish does say, the Chazon Ish writes, don't compare automatically Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Tumah. Chazon Ish writes this in Siman Nun Hey. He says, Nira delinin chi of Shabbos eino talui bedin mashkin linin Tumah v'hechsher. Don't say what I just said. Don't say it's an exact parallel. Ela kol shebnei adam nehenin min hamashken kamosha hergulu betamish mashkin kishemavar is a mashkin in a ochel. Says the Chazon Ish, any time that people get hanah from what's squeezed out, this is much more expansive, chal leshe mefarik. That's called mefarik. This is daraisa of dash. V'chal mashke delo chashivi luhu letafel ulo hotziyam in ochel ala ochlem esa ochel v'mashke betaroves lo chayal shem malacha. Okay, so he says you don't have to exactly compare the two. V'yavagav de gebar medaminama. Don't think it's exactly the same. Again, this is a very important sugya in the malacha of dash, but it has to do with our Gemara's issue, that inside, what is it? What is it considered? Okay, let's continue, and we'll even relate to another halacha in a second. Amar Belazar, my time with Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar says, what's the reason for Rabbi Eliezer that a beehive is considered karka? Tichsiv, we had this also earlier. Because the pasuk says, v'yitbol osa b'yaris advash. That he, who are we talking about here? Yonasan. Remember, Yonasan went to fight the Plishtim. under the night before in stealth. Nobody else knew. He just took his nosei kelim and he went. And meanwhile, his father had made the klala that nobody's allowed to eat anything until he beat the plishtim, and he didn't hear it. Then he took, and that's why. Somebody, he got the message, and he figured out it was his son, and they said, no, chas v'shalom, right, that the pasuk we say in v'yitem lecha, right, about that we have to save, right, right, they're nothing, they all defend him, because he was the one that brought the pidyon, that brought the victory. But anyway, he dipped his stick in the ya'arus hadvash, in the forest of honey. V'chima inyin yar eitz al dvash. So ma kesher between the yar and the dvash. El lomer lecha ma yar atolish mena b'shabes chayev chatas. To teach me that just like a forest, if you take something from a forest, you're chayev chatas. That's machav kotzer. Av dvash arode mi mena b'shabes chayev chatas. So too honey. He's comparing forest and honey. Good. There's a big sugya relating to that story, but I'm going to save it for the parsha shir, as we will talk about nichush. By the story of Yonasan and the story of Eliezer, Eved Avraham. Okay, we'll see if we have time today to relate to it. If not, we'll get to it by the Shem on Wednesday night. Meisvei, says the Gemara, 1 minute, Dvash hazov mikavarto. Honey that flows from the beehive, ein olo ochav lo mashke. It's not ochav or mashke, once it's flowing. Zof mikavarto. So remember, we had two answers. We had two answers in the Gemara to answer the stira on Amud Aleph, right? Is the honey inside the beehive, is it an ochel or a mashke? So we had a stira. So one answer was, it depends which honeycombs, the two that stay there or the rest. And the other one said, it's machlokas tanoim. So, bishlama la abaya, this last brisa, that says that the dvash, as it starts to come out, mikavarto, it fits in well according to Abaya. Abaya who gave the first answer. That's not a problem. Nicha, it fits in. Why? Rather Rashbam explains, because here we're talking about the two chalos, that inside is not considered an ochel or a mashkin. That's what we're talking about. Ela l'rava kasha. But according to Rava, that did not say it means two chalos, so it's a kasha according to Rav Kahana. Because even if you learn it like Reb Elazar, like once it starts moving, it's got to be a mashke already, once it starts coming out. So according to Rava, who would this brisa go like? Amar of Zvid, Kagon Shezav, Al-Gabi Klimos. Oh, I can think of a case, even according to Eliezer, once it starts coming out, it's still not going to be called a mashke. If it goes directly into a disgusting kli, so it never gains the status of a mashke. Says the Rashbam, V'hilkach, Kivan de betocha kaveres lohavi chashiv ochel, Rabbi Lazar. Inside it's not called an ochel according to Rabbi Lazar, because it's called mechubar. V'yasha kishayotze, hari zova gabi klimos. And now it's going on a disgusting kli. And therefore, it needs a type of machshava to make it ochel, and if not, it's not considered anything. Answer number one. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar kagon shezova gabi kishkasin. Similar answer, it goes on to like splinters. Meaning it goes in onto a place that is not fit to be used. Let's finish this, and I'll mention one other thing. Meisvei hadash bekavarto ina lochav lo mashke chishav alav laachila. But once you think about it, mitami tumas ochlin lamashkin, mitame lamashkin, mitami tumas mashkin. If you think you're going to eat it, then it has tumas ochlin. If you're going to drink it, it has tumas mashkin. So again, same question. Bishlam ala abaya nichai. I know according to abaya, it could be talking about those two. Honeycombs, el Rava kasha, but according to Rava, what does this mean? What do you mean, machshava? What do you mean, machshava? In machshava, we're talking about mechubar. If it's mechubar, it doesn't matter how much you think about it. It's not going to become an ochel or a psoles. So, amalacha Rava, taritz hachi. This is what it means. Chishe lav la achila, eino matami tumas ochlin. Lamashkin, eino matami tumas mashkin. Just switch it, add in a no. You thought it was a yes, add in a no. Tanika Vasid Rav Kahana, and then we have a brisa that supports the early Rav Kahana, Tvash Bekavarto, Mitami Tumas Ochlin, Shelo Bimachshava. Period. Okay, this also, what we just had about the liquid going right onto a Kli Ma'us, also has a parallel in Hilchos Shabbos. We know squeezing a lemon. The Shulchan speaks about squeezing a lemon. You know how to squeeze lemons on Shabbos? Can I squeeze a lemon on Shabbos? The answer is no. You can't squeeze a lemon on Shabbos, but that's only usur if one is squeezing it into an empty bowl or a spoon, or if one squeezed it into liquid. If one squeezes a lemon into liquid, that is usur. If I squeeze lemon into my tea, that's usur. Because right now in the lemon, it's ochel. I'm squeezing it and I'm giving it the status of mashke. And when it goes into mashke, then it gets the status of mashke. But what is mutter is that I'm allowed to squeeze a lemon onto a solid. A solid. Squeezing lemon onto a salad. right, onto a salad. As long as you squeeze it onto something solid, then it never gets the status of a mashke. And therefore, that would have been what, like here, it goes right into the klimos. Right, so that's why the Chai Adam says, Mishnah Berurah quotes this, if you want to put it into your tea, first squeeze it onto the sugar cube. Squeeze it onto the sugar cube, which is a solid, and then put it in. The Chazon Ish is not so comfortable with that heter. He says, well, you're about to put it into the liquid, so he thinks the middle step doesn't really help. But the Mishnah Berurah does quote that heter of the Chai Adam. But that is another example where this comes up. Mashke habal ochel. That's where that is. Okay, Vayter. Says the Gemara two dots. Tanu Rabbanan. If somebody buys a tree from their friend in order to uproot it, magbia min hakarka tefach mekotzeit. To cut it. So I'm buying the rights to cut the branches. I have to leave a tefach on the bottom. I have to leave the stump a tefach and then cut it because he might want to regenerate his tree and have it come up again. Besulas hashikma, but that type of tree, a sycamore tree, gimel tefachim. You have to leave three tefachim on the bottom. Sadana shikma base tefachim. Two. Bekanim ubekfanim. If I'm cutting reeds or vines, minapakak olamala. There's certain types of roots that looks like knots on the bottom. So you have to leave that on the bottom. Bidekalim ubarazim by palms and by cedars. Chofer mashrish umisharish. You could take out the whole thing. Because they're not coming back anyway. If you cut these branches, these trees pretty low, they're not going to regenerate, so it must be the seller had in mind to sell it to you totally. One minute. Psula Shikma needs three tvachim on the bottom. For a mini, we learned in a mission in Shvius. In Kotzim, Psula Shikma b'Shvius, you're not allowed to cut down these during Shvius, because it is an avoda, meaning it's considered for the betterment of the tree, which is also during Shemitah. During Shemitah, I'm allowed to prevent my tree from dying, but I'm not allowed to do something for the betterment, to make it grow better. Right? So this would be making it grow better, by cutting it, because pruning it is part of the process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kedarko Aser, you're not allowed to cut it in the normal way. Elamagbiya, Yud Tvachim V'chotzeit, but I can leave 10 Tvachim and cut the top of it, because that's not good for the tree, just cutting off the edges. Ogome Me'im Aretz, or just cut it down to ground level, flat with the ground. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. So we darshan. Me'im ha'aretu dekashi. Cutting it totally smooth with the ground is what's difficult. Ha'idach malila. But a little bit above would be good enough. Only ground level is bad, but a little bit above that is okay. But we just thought that you need to leave three tvachim by Ipsula Shikma. Here it's mashma, you can leave anything is good for the tree. So Amar Abaya, gimel tvachim malila. No, three tvachim are good, are for sure good for it, and that's what you have to leave by the selling case. Me'im ha'aretz v'adikashila. Totally flat with the ground is for sure terrible for the tree. That's why it's mutter during Shemitah. Mikan ve'elep, the in-between, from 0 to 3, lo makshi kashila v'lave lu yimayla. It's like in the middle. You're not exactly sure what's going to be if you leave a little bit. So gabi shviyis, so by Shemitah, v'dinan midi v'adikashila. By Shemitah, I got to do all the way flat with the ground. I can't take my chances. Why? Rashbam explains, Safig Dal Raisa Lachumra. Safig Dal Raisa Lachumra, and therefore by Shemitah, you have to cut it all the way down to the ground. Gabi Mekach Omemkar, but by selling, which part of the tree did I sell you? Avdinan Midi Devadi Malila. So there, I have to do something that is for sure okay with the tree. Why? Because the seller is Muchsuk in the tree. Hamotze Mechaber Lavaraya. And because he's Muchsuk in the tree, so therefore, I have to do only what is for sure something that he might have wanted. Period. The big discussion, and we don't have time to get into it now, in Hilchas Shemitah, which parts of Shemitah are d'oraisa, which are d'rabbanan? Pruning trees other than vines is not mefurish in the Torah. It's a big discussion in the Rishonim, whether that's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. It sounds like from this Gemara that it's d'oraisa, right? Because we're talking about pruning, and the Gemara applies the principle of Savi d'oraisa l'chomer. Period. Should we talk about Safi D'Oraisa L'Chumra a little bit first? Or should we finish? Okay, let's continue though. Let's continue, and then maybe we'll start with Safi D'Oraisa L'Chumra tomorrow. Bitakalam Uba'arazim, Chofer, Mesharez, Afishek, Gezamachlev. So we just said palms and cedars. You're allowed to dig down, because they're not going to regenerate anyway. So it must be the seller allowed you to take the whole thing. The eres and gizo machla, is that really true? An eres, a cedar, does not regenerate itself? The hadarish rebichia bar lul yani, my dichsiv, tzaddik at the marifrach of eres malvadon yiske. What does it mean that the tzaddik is like these great palm and cedar trees? Im nomer tamar lamanema eres, im nomer eres lamanema tamar. Is a tzaddik like a cedar or like a palm? Which one? An eres or tamar? Ilun, the Gemara says both. Ilo nemar erez, lo nemar tamar. If it only said erez, ha'yisi yomer ma erez ein oseh peirus, av tzadik ein oseh peirus. I would have thought that just like an erez doesn't bear fruit, a cedar doesn't have fruit, so do a tzadik does not bear fruit for the future. Lakach nemar tamar, that's why he says tamar, because tamar obviously has fruit. V'yem nemar tamar, v'lo nemar erez, if you have the opposite, ha'yisi yomer ma tamar ein gizo machlif. I would have thought just like a tamar does not regenerate itself, so to a tzaddik, l'kach nemer erez. That's why I have to say erez. But what do you see from that chazal? That an erez is regenerates. So we just said a erez does not regenerate itself. No, there are many types of cedars. Kid rabba barafuna, dam rabba barafuna, amri be rab, yud mini arazim hein. There are 10 types of cedars. Shenemar, etain bamidbar, erez, shitav, adas, ve'etz, shemen, asim. I'll put all of these. Another Gemara explains what each of these are. Erez is arza. Shita is chernisa. It's a pine. Hadas is an asa, like a hadas. Etz, shemen, afarsama. It's a tree that produces oil. Barosh is barsi. Tidar is shaga. Fatashar is shurbina. So all of those are the different types of cedars. So Gemara says, Hani zayin havi. These are only 7 in the pasuk. You said there are 10. Those three are added on. And what are those? Alonim are butni, amonim are bluti, amogim are kasisa, if that helps. They knew these trees in the right when it was the Maisa, what was included in the sale and what not. You have to know these trees. Igadamre, Aronim, Armonim, Almogim. Those three. Aronim are Ari, Armonim are Dulve, different types of trees, Almogim are Kisisa. Okay, so those are different types of trees, different types of arazim. The Marsha says, right, it's talking about tzadik hatamar yifrach, gizo machlif, and bearing fruit, that's obviously an olam haba. That's what it means, that it's tzadik hatamar yifrach, that he's going to have the fruit, and he's going to have gizo machlif, la'asid lavo. Okay, but maybe tomorrow we'll start with a discussion of savik d'araisa l'chumra, the machlokas, the Rambam, and the Rashba, whether it's a din d'araisa or a din d'rabanan, talk about some of the rayas, and then, Be'ez Hashem, we will continue with some halachas of bikurim, which come up a little bit on tomorrow's daf. And now, Kulun Lazar. Okay, stop it.